This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Alaska Legislature passed two major bills Monday. One would fund the state. One would fund the capital budget. Governor Mike Dunleavy says he's glad it passed. The other bill would fund permanent fund dividends at $1,600 and reverse most of Dunleavy's line item vetoes. Dunleavy calls that bill a, quote, disappointment. The morning began with the House voting for the third time in just over a week on Senate Bill 2002. This bill would fund the capital budget by drawing $176 million from the constitutional budget reserved. It passed by 31-7, a one-vote margin after failing by one vote a week ago. Healy Republican Dave Tallarico voted for the draw after being absent last week for health reasons. Tallarico has advocated for budget cuts, but says funding medical education is among the reasons he supports the bill.
The bulk of the constituents from my district that have contacted me, by far and away, would like us to move forward with this. And not an easy decision for me, because I've taken some pretty strong positions in the past. But I would say that I am here to represent the majority of people that live in my district.
Eagle River Republican Representative Sharon Jackson voted against the draw.
There has been no compromise. Nothing has changed since the last time we voted. And I find that pretty sad.
In addition to funding the capital budget, the bill also maintains 54 separate accounts that would otherwise be swept into the CBR. They include funds for power cost equalization, college grants and scholarships in medical education, and vaccines. The Senate already passed the bill. Monday afternoon, the Senate passed House Bill 2001 by a 17-1 vote. The body amended the bill to pay a $1,600 PFD instead of the full roughly $3,000 PFD approved Saturday by the Senate Finance Committee. The bill also would reverse nearly all of Dunleavy's vetoes. Sitka Republican Senator Bart Stedman says the veto reversals would help Alaska communities. He says $30 million in community assistance is one example.
That will put direct downward pressure on property tax. Keep it along the lines of what it was last year. Without those funds, Madam President, just a matter of time before property tax goes up in all the organized communities around the state.
Eagle River Republican Senator Laura Reinbold was the only senator to vote against the bill. She supports a full PFD under the formula in a 1982 law.
I think it's wrong to break the statute, and so therefore I cannot vote for this bill. I will be a no vote to be a voice of fiscal responsibility for a future. I don't think government can continue to grow and get bigger.
Reinbold may lose her Senate Labor and Commerce Committee chair for voting against a budget bill. Two other senators who chair committees, Shelley Hughes of Palmer and Mike Schauer of Wasilla, were absent for the vote on the bill after having voted against the $1,600 PFD amendment. The Senate sent the bill back to the House. The second special session is scheduled to end by August 6th at the latest. And it was a quiet weekend for wildfires burning in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Scattered pockets of rain prevented new fires from breaking out, but at least one fire has grown. That's the Smith Creek Fire, which is burning a mile away from the Donlin Gold mine site. The Smith Creek Fire has expanded to 67,000 acres since last week and threatens 80 structures at the mine site. Donlin Gold has suspended its operations and evacuated all of its 30 employees. The company was evaluating the site for its dam safety certification, a major step it must complete before mining. Donlin Gold spokesperson Christina Woolston says it's unclear how the fire will impact their timeline to complete the certification. Meanwhile, the McCauley Creek Fire near the village of Red Devil holds steady at a little more than 3,000 acres. A hotshot wildland firefighter crew remains stationed at Red Devil to protect the community. And in climate news, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly approved a resolution last week that established a task force that will put together a plan to deal with the impacts of climate change on the borough. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Assembly adopted the resolution by an 8-1 vote after more than 3 hours of testimony. All but a handful of the more than 50 people who spoke during a public hearing strongly urged passage of the measure, like Rick Toman, a climate specialist with the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment.
This summer has been incredibly smoky. I'm sure we all know that. This is the fifth time since 2004 we've had more than 3 weeks of wildfire smoke. Prior to 2004, the preceding half century, that happened once.
Toman's a former meteorologist with the National Weather Service, and he says he's seen dramatic changes in Fairbanks' weather since he arrived in the early 1990s.
25 years ago, my family was concerned about driving in dense ice fog, about square tires and keeping the heat going. Now we worry about the freezing rain in the winter. Snow is coming later, melting sooner. We've got bugs flying around at Halloween. It didn't used to be this way.
Matthew Sturm is a geophysicist who worked with the Army's Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory on Fort Wainwright before becoming a professor with the University of Alaska Fairbanks' Geophysical Institute. He says warming is accelerating the rate at which permafrost is thawing and causing infrastructure damage. He cites Goldstream Road north of Fairbanks, which had major repairs just 2 years ago.
And the road needs to be rebuilt again right now. There's some axle breakers already on it. Deep thermokarst pits form in a matter of weeks.
Sturm says permafrost thaw also threatens portions of the Dalton Highway, the lifeline to the North Slope oil fields.
I have to drive it several times a year for work, and it too is falling apart at an alarming rate.
Esau Sinek is a UAF student who was born and raised in Shishmaref, a native community on the Seward Peninsula coast that's collapsing into the Chukchi Sea because there's not enough shore-fast sea ice to protect the coastline from erosion. So he says residents of the village have begun moving to another site a few miles inland.
If you can just imagine having your entire home relocate from where you grew up.
Those testifying against the resolution cited concerns such as the cost of developing and implementing a plan. Tara Zuger says it's another example of government overreach, like the borough's efforts to improve air quality, which local voters narrowly repealed last fall.
Residents sent a pretty clear message when they voted powers away from the borough to regulate wood stoves. People don't trust this assembly.
Assemblymember Aaron Lajeski, who voted against the resolution, cited some of the same arguments. He said the borough should respond to specific local problems rather than appoint a task force to craft a broad plan in an attempt to ease the impacts of warming, which he doubts will be as bad as the testimony suggests.
I almost feel like I'm hearing Chicken Little scream a little bit. The sky's falling.
But Leah Berman-Williams, a co-sponsor of the measure, said the impact of warming has been well documented by experts at the university and other agencies and organizations. She says the borough can tap into that local expertise to help with the climate plan, which she says will enable the borough to respond to the impacts of warming using such tools as land use planning.
That is, of course, exactly the point of developing a climate action plan for the borough, to address specific areas.
Presiding Officer Matt Cooper said the resolution is simply an effort to gain community support for a concerted effort to respond to climate change impacts on the borough and its residents.
The purpose of this, as I understand it, is to figure out how we as a borough plan for the effects and deal with those effects. And I think that that's just a matter of prudent community planning.
The resolution calls for the task force to hold its first meeting by November 15th to begin work on a climate action plan that would be presented to the assembly in the coming year. If approved, the borough's plan would be the fourth to be adopted by an Alaskan municipality after Juneau, Homer, and Anchorage. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.